Devices Radio Network.
Drugs and Stuff is for informational, educational purposes only.
We can call it.
I mean, it's a free-for-all. You shoot them running across the border. They're defenseless. They're just innocent, illegal Mexicans, and you guys are shooting them.
49,500 illegal were detained in October.
Talk other places you can't drive on the and talk on the phone at the same time.
You're allowed. Now, if I remember this correctly, you're allowed to drive using a hands-free kit, but you're not allowed to handle your mobile device.
Okay, that makes sense. So no texting either then.
Like hospice is going to be in a couple of weeks. No, our retirement house we bought in at the end of March and moved into up here at I've heard it said it's 15,000 feet, but that's not possible in the state of Colorado. I guess you'd have to be from Colorado to know that it only goes to 14.
It's a communications device.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So it's a bit, it is a bit odd, but basically, the rule of thumb is don't use your phone while you're driving, but obviously it's okay on a hands-free, you know, it's synced into the car, sort of.
Yeah. So we have...
Kiki and Kurt just left from France. Ian and Shan were in from South Africa. They're coming back into town. Yeah, coming back into town. They loved it so much. They're like, oh, we'd really like to come back out and visit. I'm like, are you kidding me? Get out here for the holidays. So they'll be back on the 23rd, and they're staying until the 9th. So had a couple clients. Joe was out.
Anabolic steroids on muscle gene expression, epigenetic markers, and a potential enhancement of muscle memory in humans. And we are particularly interested in what happens in both the short term and the long term when somebody cycles off anabolic steroids. And
to beta testing mode in about a month, and that has been a ton of work. And I don't want to put that out there as kind of a teaser because it doesn't have anything to do with this industry. But when it does beta test and we get closer to launching, it's not any type of secret. I'll
put steroids, and so they will conduct a PCT and go off cycle, and then they will return to our laboratories in 20 weeks' time for us to again take another muscle biopsy to then investigate, is there a difference in the anabolic molecular milieu?
Yeah, I have to like wear 400 plus reading glasses to see it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. I haven't. I don't even think I've gotten any feedback like that saying that it was. I didn't know that.
Well, wow. Maybe 350s.
Anabolic steroids for some time, 2 to 4 years ago, but since then have stopped. And then they come to our laboratory so we can then see what does muscle look like that was exposed to anabolic steroids years ago, but since then has not been exposed to something that is above physiological levels.
31st member online today. Hey, it's slow, but it used to be the place to be, man. It was very popular for a very long time. And how long can you really hold that? So I still train all my clients there. I have a lot of people who do journals there and still check in. And, you know, I've seen
time that's ever taken place. And the unique aspect for the project is the gene expression and the epigenetic markers, because we can look at both in terms of what genes are being expressed inside the muscle, and then also what regions of the DNA are opened and closed, because the androgen receptor.
No.
There's a lot of information there. I mean, of course, you still have, you know, people will say DC training is antiquated too. You know, things run their course sometimes. That doesn't mean that the system isn't good. It's just that it's not the popular go-to
receptor binding, and therefore are still relatively more open compared to muscle as a control group that's never been exposed to super physiological levels of steroids before. And then that's the genetic side of the project, and that's definitely never been done before in humans. And then the other
training protocol like that, you know, late 90s, the high intensity training hadn't run its course yet, so it probably would have been blown off. So great training protocol, don't get me wrong. I mean, but he hit a grand slam with his timing.
Sure.
Gene synthesis is upregulated in the muscle. It's upregulated by the steroids themselves, and then they increase the number of nuclei inside there as well. And in mice, it's been demonstrated that the nuclei that incorporate inside muscle from anabolic steroids do not decrease through time. And
it's kind of odd that I train the similar, you can take facets of all of them, kind of thrown together.
Sure.
And kind of where, you know, I don't have a name for it, but actually I did. I used to call it grandpa style training.
In humans, where we look at people's muscle through time to investigate the nuclei numbers decrease through time. And that's the first, and that's, this will be the first study that directly looks at it in a time course manner. There has been previous studies that have looked at nuclei numbers in current and past.
You know, it not only intense muscle, but, you know, professional muscle. Back in the day, I mean, I want to say, like, shit, you know, when we started intense muscle, he had already been in professional muscle too since what? I mean, that's like the early 2000s. Yeah. This guy's been around for a while.
They're not actually doing anything to take advantage of that. They're not going to reap the benefits. But that is the concept of muscle memory, is nuclear accumulation and retention and then giving benefits in the future. So that has implications for what I just said there, and also implications.
Sometimes that goes above most of the rest of us, and it's hard to follow, quite frankly. But a hell of a system. It's been around for quite a while. He knows his shit.
What do you?
I just lost all my future clients.
Likelihood of being frail and falling down and experiencing hip fractures and such.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, hold on, just a second here, because yes. I just wanted to ask what you did in a very basic way. So that we could just get started. And I know Dave. Well, first of all, Dave.
Holidays. You know, I got all this filming done for the training footage and everything else, and I wanted to be, you know, not shredded, but, you know, in good shape. And then after that, I'm like, you know what? I've been dieting for so long. I got to take the holidays here at the end of the year and just kind of chill. I'm still training. I'm training
through. Again, like, what are you doing? What's your primary goals? Now, this relates to steroid use. And correct. You are looking to see if there are any long-term changes that have
following week, and you know, I'm gaining weight. I'm probably 20 pounds over what I was in the summer. Nice. It's starting to get to that phase where you're like, okay, I might not be able to tolerate myself in another couple months, but I also know too, I probably should not say this either.
Guys, we're experiencing some technical difficulties here. Dave Crossland is, I don't think this is going to work, Dave. Well, I'll tell you what, I would love to keep talking though. It looks like,
you know, I've proven an awful lot, and this will show in the DVD with the transition to TRT, about the, you know, the amount of muscle you can hold when you put in your years and you've acquired the muscle, things like that, and the condition that you can get into. And I thought, if I can do a show,
what is the methods that you are going to be testing so that you can find out whether this is true or not? Because I feel like in my own life, I would say that, yeah, after using gear, my body is probably never going to be the same as it was before. Is it because of the steroids? I don't know. Is it because
cycle anymore, or they call, oh, I was TRT in the off season. I only run cycle. You're not TRT. Okay. Just call it low dose. TRT, in my opinion, my definition of it is your ass fucking once you switch to TRT, you're not cycling anymore. It's not, well, I'm going to cycle before a show, but
the muscle is super physiological. So that means that their muscle is going to be different to somebody's muscle who has never taken anabolic steroids at that point.
And you can test this. You can actually see that this is happening.
So we are assuming
underneath your belt to begin with, because, you know, my point a couple minutes ago is you got people coming off cycles and they're on what they call TRT for 6 months. I'm like, oh, I'm holding all my size. Bitch, it's only been 6 months. Trust me, as those levels stay low and you stay.
Okay, interesting. And so this is something that, and how long will you be tracking these guys for?
So then they will then come back 20 weeks later. And so then we will be able to investigate in 20 weeks time, how long does.
If I'm able to, and I say, I think, I'm going to be honest with you. If it isn't going to work and it's not working, I'm not getting on stage looking like shit, but I would not publicly say this if I didn't think I could pull it off. So my intention really is I'm going into prep mode by the end.
Estrogen receptor binding for, I'd say numerous reasons, is that one, it's expensive to do these genetic tests. The technology has now only in the past few years become cheaper and far more, I'd say, reachable for research scientists to access.
Nowadays now, I'm trying to keep my training consistent. I actually have upstairs right now. I'm down in my office right now taping, or, you know, or whatever you want to call it, the show. But upstairs, I haven't seen my buddy Jimmy Kennedy for 4 or 5 years.
And in mice, anabolic steroids have been shown to enhance muscle memory. There is now the question is, do anabolic steroids enhance muscle memory in humans? And because now the technology is cheap enough that we can look at the genetic response to steroids in humans, that's why we can now do it.
I can't make any promises.
Well, shout out to him. Shout out to him for giving you the time. He's patiently waiting while you're down here recording with us.
Exactly. He's probably eating all the goddamn
food. The Skip Hotel.
I know, right? The Skip Inn.
For more. We've got four guys recruited who have never lifted weights before. They're sedentary.
No kidding.
And we've then got, 13 guys who have lifted weights. So straight away, we can compare the muscle of those two groups to see what's the effect of just lifting weights. And then we've...
Logical that the TRT component is essentially just based on health. It's because everybody was dropping dead and still is that had started training in the 80s and doing gear. And you put in 20, 30 years of training and on and off cycles and anything else. And people are having heart attacks.
Levels of androgen receptor binding for many years. So does the molecular environment and the anabolic pathways, have they reduced down to the levels of someone who's never taken steroids, or are they still actually somehow upregulated? And does the muscle therefore have a memory?
There may be some eye rolls when I say this, but I don't believe that insulin is necessarily unhealthy in the sense that if it's used, I use it with skip loading. I don't recommend it anymore pre or post workout very often unless it's just somebody.
No, it's not going well.
No. So, but the job didn't end on time. But we still wanted to carry on though, because we wanted to get Alex on. We wanted to talk about this. So we wanted to definitely still make this happen. If we can get Dave's signal good, I know Dave has some questions for you, Alex.
Like, these are the most entitled fucking people I've ever seen. I'm just going to sell these fucking properties and just move to the mountains, I think, by myself.
You and the 17 dogs.
Yeah.
And the wifey.
Right.
And that's kind of how it was for me. And
I always loved molecular biology. A lot of my degree was based around DNA sequencing and genetics.
Yeah.
After that, I mean, at the time in the UK, you couldn't get a loan to do postgraduate studies, and I wasn't in the financial situation to be able to pursue postgraduate studies.
So my wife will be like, why can't you just not – this is what – because, I've been talking about this for a while now with her about, I think I got to go back to being regular, just a regular doc,
ass doc, uh-huh.
Yeah, because
leave my job then and sign up to do the PhD.
Okay.
And been doing that for a year and a half now. Yeah. And so the project is going to continue probably for another year in terms of recruiting people. So we just want to get as many people through the door that we can so that statistically.
4:00 in the morning, I'm going to have to find. When really, I should just go to bed.
I know.
But I am not like that. I'm a freak, you know?
We're very similar in that regard because I have the same problems with my career path, So.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, what?
We'll show. And you're looking for people who have currently cycled off recently. And people who have been off long term, what are those requirements?
So males aged 20 to 35. And as you said, they've just recently finished taking.
Do a game and then I don't know, maybe get a T-shirt out to somebody or something. I said this guy because that would be that. I bet people could come up with some good captions for that one.
I know it. That was funny. I didn't know if he was doing that as a joke or what.
I think that's kind of – I mean, I took it as like that was it.
Being steroid-free. And we actually have sampling dates on the 15th and 16th of June 2019 and the 10th and the 11th of August 2019. And those are Saturday and Sundays. And we can have people
– Oh, yeah, man. Still training good. Now – if you want it, training's been good, but the diet, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, jeez.
It's been a little loose the last couple of weeks, but I'm back. I'm tightening things back up.
Oh, yeah, because you got to, man. The summer's not even here yet, right? It's like
– And as I said, we will conduct a muscle biopsy, and we're using the trapezius muscle. I'll explain why we're doing a trapezius muscle biopsy in a moment. And then we will collect their blood, urine, and saliva for standard hormonal parameters, and also then –
We got to May 1st.
You can tighten it up by June, you'll be good. It's like, I've been like really pushing my cheat meals. I'm like experimenting to see like what I can get away with. You know what I mean?
And it's as time goes on and you're no longer using them. And the reason why we are doing a trapezius muscle biopsy is that muscle in previous research has been shown to contain a higher density of nuclei that
Lifestyle, like just like my good friend Dr. Stephen Ogden, we're lifestyle here. So we have to pick and choose our battles, you know. If we're lean enough, and we are at this point, I think, where we can get away with, you know, a few experiments here and there, then absolutely do it, man.
To sort of be an explanation of why the trapezius muscle and the traps in guys that take anabolic steroids tends to be a lot bigger than guys that have trained naturally. And you see a lot of people online will say that's anecdotally how you could potentially spot someone that's using anabolic
steroids. You know, that'll backfire. I know it will. but right now, I'm just enjoying the ride, right? I mean,
that's kind of how I am too. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I'm still not that fat. Okay, we can do this again.
Not yet. Yeah. That's the key, though. I mean, you.
What I ask is, I know that when I was a kid, like really, really young, the gym that my dad went to, I later found out all the bodybuilders there. This was their bro science method was they did all of their test shots in their traps.
Because back in your old stomping grounds, and you had flashbacks of the 25-year-old Veej.
Yes, exactly. Doing flies with retarded amounts of weight, right? Yeah. and back then, I was like Superman. Now I'm just like, you know, like Mr. Glass, right? Just break at the drop of
a hat. That's interesting.
Yes, most of the studies are in the leg, you see.
Tell me a little bit about the research that your advisor is doing. That sounded really interesting. That relates to EPO and drug testing.
Yes, so for about the past
I would say maximum of like 15 grams of fat a day, and that's all from trace sources, right? I don't have any extra fats, and when you don't have fats in your diet, your healing, your ability to heal injuries goes way down, you know. So
EPO was originally first detected in the urine, but it only had a detection window of maybe 24 to 48 hours. But the red blood cells that it would generate could last for up to 3 months. So that's a sort of example of a classic drug where someone could take it. They would
get, you know, cause some nuts here and there, but I don't eat that in, like, that's not part of my, you know, but, so yeah, that's exactly true. Now, you know what's funny is speaking of joint pain, I don't even know if it's going to work because I'm not a big believer in this. But my knees are.
What I wanted to do was start taking people's blood, and they wanted to look at the hematocrit levels inside the blood. So what is the percentage of red blood cells? And in most normal healthy men, it's around 48-50%. And so they put a cutoff, and if your hematocrit was above a certain number,
because that's French vanilla coffee, exactly. Yeah. I don't think I'd like that either because Chrissy drinks French vanilla coffee. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But what I was getting to was while I was there on the site, I said, you know what, fuck it, let me try this, and I picked up some of that their joint supplement.
It was about 55% naturally, and that probably enabled him to be a very good endurance athlete. And so they transitioned to investigating people's hematocrit through time, because if your hematocrit is naturally fluctuating by a few percentage points,
fall apart. You know what I mean? You're gonna have to put up. You're gonna have to put up with some sort of injuries, nagging injuries that'll take much longer to heal. That's just the way of things. So, you know, to kind of counteract that a little bit, you know, I've upped the test a little bit. Actually, probably by 100.
If is statistically different from the previous numbers by a certain amount, then it's deemed that it's deviated too much from the athlete's previous samples, and therefore it's likely that they've injected EPO.
Okay.
But that statistical software only
inflammatory, but also helps with just healing and kind of nurturing those wounds a little bit. It's actually vital in wound healing. So, it works internally too. So that works. It's not just topical, you know?
Yeah. Some people
flag up the athlete biological pore spot as an abnormal finding, and they could be sanctioned, or at least be further investigated. And so what they tend to do now is they microdose with EPO, which means they use very small doses of EPO so that they boost the hematocrit just slightly.
Figure there's other ways to do it, you know, hopefully.
That's why I got my medical marijuana card, because the CBD oils, anti-inflammatory.
I don't know if that would look good for me. But
well, yeah, I mean.
It's legal, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. When it becomes fully legal, it won't be a problem anymore. You know, you can just.
Passport in a statistical manner that is worthy of getting a sanction, but they do actually gain a performance-enhancing benefit of a few percentage points. And in elite sport, the few percentage points can be the difference between podium placing and coming outside of the top 8 or even worse.
Like that's one of my favorite movies. That's that's great.
The first time I heard it, I cracked up. Yeah. I was like, that is classic. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
We need marijuana right now. Yeah, we don't have marijuana in this hospital.
Like a really big bag of it.
That's a good one.
But the genetic response, the gene expression, and then it results in more red blood cells being made. And so he has done administration studies both in high dose and low dose EPO. And he has collected their blood in a new blood tube that has the capacity.
Temporary, like 4 to 6 weeks, you're good.
And I actually emailed them yesterday and was like, look, I'm in a recredentialing period right now. I need something.
Anything.
You're going to freaking like lay me off if you don't send me something.
Holy Christ. Yeah.
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 It sucks because, I mean, that's not my.
Then he might be able to add those parameters to the athlete biological passport and increase the number of parameters that we look at to try and catch someone using EPO.
All right. I just saw it looks like we have Dave might be back with us. I'm trying to.
Yesterday, and I'm like, look, can you just like write a letter, a quick email saying that I passed so that my work knows? And he goes, oh, that's not my job. Here, email these people. So I emailed Jesus them and I haven't Christ. Got an email back.
Dude, nobody wants to fucking work. Nobody wants to.
And then down-regulate it afterwards. And then which one of those are genuinely true? And they're not caused by natural biological variation between different people, but they're genuinely caused by the drug causing their upregulation. And he then might be able to incorporate those into potentially a new drug test.
Expiration date. That's all I need.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's fucking crazy. I hope it works out, man. I don't want to see you have to be. I want you to be homeless over there in Delaware. I have to move into my princess suite here in Michigan.
Yeah. We'll have to come. I'll have to come rent out one of your.
That could naturally explain the fluctuations. However, it seems to be, and he has taken athletes to altitude and taken them back down, and he's demonstrated that they do gain a performance-enhancing benefit from going to altitude in the endurance sport with their VO2 max increasing, but he has shown that the
genetic...
It's built for old people. Only old people.
Yeah. All the pools in the neighborhood that you're in are probably empty.
Yeah, exactly. That shit's expensive, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Fine.
Oh, done. I've been driving around the car park with my hand out of the car window like Lion King trying to get a better signal.
Nice. Well, it sounds like you're back with us. Yes. We you know, what we've done so far is we talked about Alex's research and where he currently...
But let's go to the board right now. We have a couple of questions from the board that are like, oh, my God. You know, I like these long questions because they're very detailed, but fuck, trying to read these on the air can be kind of a pain in the butt.
You end up with Larry.
That exact same idea to being, does muscle remember if it was male when it transitions to becoming a female? Because currently, International Olympic Committee rulings are that if you're a man transitioning to a woman, if you lower your testosterone below a certain value for 2 years, you are then eligible to be able to...
There's like white residue all over his chin.
It looks like he has no teeth.
Yeah. That's what I feel like sometimes.
I used to love Jim Carrey for the first couple like years, and then everything became the same, and I kind of like was like, oh, he fell off. Cause
circulating levels of testosterone for 20, 25, 30 years. As they then go on the hormonal therapy and they transition to becoming a woman, the question is, do they retain a benefit in their muscle from being a man for so long? Hmm. We would know and we would assume that because they've had such high levels of testosterone.
Marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. J. Perry.
Clinical muscle starts.
Then and monitor them through time and see how does their strength change, how does their VO2 max, so their endurance capacity change, how does their muscle mass change, how does their fat mass change, how does their bone density change, to then try and get a more evidence-based ruling as to...
So it's been hustle, and of course I got to get my 40 minutes of morning cardio in, so... It gets busy. Tuesday mornings do, but we'll make it happen, you know?
That's right. Tuesdays is your day off. I forgot, like, your training day off. That's right.
Yeah, typically. About
that. What things don't, and are they retaining a benefit so we can just in a fair manner try and incorporate these people? Because as it stands, the Olympic Charter states that there should be no discrimination of any kind for anybody of any race or sexual...
Done.
Yeah, well, I've moved back towards just doing the one leg day now. and just making it kind of like an all-encompassing, you know, lots of hamstrings, lots of quad stuff, and just going from there. I think my body just needs a lot of rest in my hips and knees and stuff. So
TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends, and they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packs.
I'll tell you what. When you sit back and you do things, you know, you sometimes stress isn't worth it. You know,
no, for things, fuck no.
You think you're doing right, and really you're just killing yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, I didn't know if you wanted to
talk. lands.org.uk. Dave offers services to a wide range of individuals. He offers performance and image enhancing drug individualized support. Their expert team.
World, you know that old saying, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Okay. I just want to be an Indian. You know, I don't need to be a chief.
Yeah, yeah. We can be Indian together. It'll be good.
I meant the other kind, but yeah.
Your own environment in your neurons for a very long period of time. And we know in the motor control that men can possibly, because of their testosterone, perform better in certain tasks than women. And so the question may be, do they retain that benefit?
Well, yeah, I don't know. As long as you think you're doing the right thing, you know. I know you said that you have fun with that, you know.
I love it, man. I enjoy the kids, and I enjoy being there with them. And, you know, the main reason I ever really got into it was because when my son started football, let's be honest, he
– bones does affect brain structure post the age of 28. So there's so many gray areas and unanswered questions with this.
Exactly. And the study we're planning on doing will be going on for 4 or 5 years, and we'll be monitoring people through time.
In like a multiple venues of your life now. And now you can just sit back and enjoy the game and be one of those psychotic parents in the bleachers that are fucking yelling at the kids and the coaches and stuff.
Well, what really made me and Chrissy come to this decision was the whole time.
Far from what we know with muscle memory research in mice is that the nuclei that it incorporated from muscle growth from anabolic steroid usage do not decrease through time, and they can facilitate higher rates of muscle growth.
And then this year with Haley playing lacrosse and then Stevie playing basketball by herself, me not being a coach, not involved at all, I just finally got to sit back and watch my kids play, and they're both like, they don't need me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and even sometimes I'm cheering for them. They're like, shut the hell up.
So the nuclei is yet to be determined. Theoretically, it would always mean that.
That's protein. A prop researcher's answer.
It is a researcher's answer.
Sir, come on. I'm there. I want to nail you down. Do you think they have an unfair advantage from what you currently know personally? What do you think?
Out there. Like I was the coach, but I wasn't even like messing with him. Like, yeah. He was one of the kids that did his thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then watching him play basketball and everything. And then this year, I just was like, you know what? I told Christina.
People that we would have studied.
You think there will be a point with time where the natural born differences are, for want of a better word, chemically bred out?
There will be certain characteristics, I think, that will be able to decrease, and some that
was. I mean, I couldn't even get through a workout without answering 4 emails.
Oh, fuck. I hate that.
6 texts and phone calls. And, you know, it's like, come on, man. I don't have any time off.
Yeah.
Even when I'm quote them off.
Right. When you have your days off, they're not really off.
Elves is then going to have to determine if they deem those physical characteristics to be so beneficial that it's not fair to let somebody transition. Whereas other sports might be more amenable to that.
The other problem you have with this is you could argue that for some.
And they responded well to it. Then what we're going to do is every time we work that muscle group directly, we're going to use LR3. So say we use the bicep example. If they're only hitting bicep 2 times a week, you can almost do that indefinitely in your biceps because you're going to have a couple of days in between.
Time ago now, and it was realized her testosterone was way, way higher than the other females. And the IAAF, the governing body for athletics, made a ruling where they made her reduce her testosterone levels down because they deemed it was an unfair advantage. However,
it just makes sense if you look at it from a common sense standpoint.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let's see. Anything else we want to talk about here with peptides? I feel like you covered where I mainly would want to go, which is with MK. I feel like that
it's involved in sporting decisions, and they told her that the IAAF were not allowed to do that ruling anymore, and they had to change their ruling, and they had to come up with further evidence to demonstrate that the women that have higher testosterone levels do indeed perform better.
Another thing too, one of the issues we run into with a lot of this stuff is variations in the quality, you know, from the different sources. I know that MK is pretty expensive to purchase, you know, on the raw powder level.
And it was quite controversial, and a lot of other athletes felt like they were competing against someone who was basically just not really, shouldn't be against them because they have such high testosterone levels. But as you say, that was a naturally born genetic advantage. And now, Dave, as we're speaking,
I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this.
I know where you're going, but I'm going to watch you squirm and figure this one out. I know what you mean, but I don't know how how to say it either quite.
Okay, so I'm not trying to shut down other competitors and just say, hey, this is the best product.
To reduce their testosterone again. So Caster Semenya has now been told, no, you can't have your high testosterone levels. It has to go down. It is indeed too much of an advantage. But she has now taken that to the Court of Arbitration of Sport. And now is the 30th of April. They're supposed
to. No, I totally agree. Hey, and plus, you never know, man. One place that seems excellent, we don't have control over their quality. And who's to say we don't know the people, what they're going to be doing next month. And somebody listens to, Beast Fitness.
Really long legs. You're not allowed to compete in the long jump.
Right. So you say yes. Bolt can't run because his legs are too fucking long.
Exactly. But I think the main difference here is that this parameter can be reduced with drugs, and these women can be have their levels reduced and compete.
Note that Advices Radio does have a sponsor that does carry peptides, and they've been in business for a long time, so that definitely says something.
Oh yeah, if you have someone with a reputation over 5 years, like, it's kind of hard to argue with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because obviously their bodies were born that way, so their systems have developed to cope with that level.
Exactly, and there's only been one study where they've monitored three people.
Effects of low androgens in these females if you force them to reduce their testosterone.
Let's see what else we have here. There's a bunch of questions that have been built up here. Okay, this is another interesting one. Sounds like the guy's once again a little bit on the newer side. He says that he's never competed, and he wants to know
that they didn't have to take the drugs anymore. So what we don't know is that, how does that change their physiology in terms of their bone density? How does it change their muscle and fat mass percentage ratios? Because if you said exactly as you're right, Dave, if they were born high and they've lived high for 20 or more years.
Off the bat, too.
Take it away, man, all you.
All right. I would definitely personally suggest if he is a newer guy and he's already run a decent cycle for an off season, that you give your...
I mean, I see it in users and people that have naturally are on the higher end of natural production, that when their levels are lower post-usage, they seem to be far more symptomatic.
At least myself and a lot of other guys I've seen, we might dial the off-season back a little bit, you know, because we know we're going to have to hit it hard during contest prep. So this guy hasn't competed yet. For all I know, he's run, he's a newer guy, and for all I know, he's run three or four comps.
It's not, surely. I mean, it's such a difficult area to look at.
Exactly.
You know, when you start looking at sports that involve brain and hand-eye coordination and those sort of things.
At this level, at this place in your life, I don't think that that's going to be necessary. If he were, say, an HRT patient already, then sure, then going back down to a cruise dose, absolutely. I've got to guess that he's not, though.
Just to be able to do the profession, you have to take some sort of drug to that affects your physiology and their way of life regular basis.
It's nature, it's genetics, and in the same
way.
Anything goes during prep.
Yeah, exactly. And so, definitely keep in mind health here. That's my take on it. How about you, though, Alex?
I'm pretty much in the same boat. First of all, I take a step back, and I'd like to have a lot of people
look at the ruling. The ruling will come out. The ruling will come out very soon, and we'll see what they say. It's all based on the research paper that was conducted, where they stratified the athletes the female athletes by their testosterone levels
method, generally having longer periods of cruising than blasting. But again, depending on the person, if you're going, the question was from off season straight into pre-contest. I would definitely have a break between that. If like you said, you're someone that's blasting
and that those women will be able to race naturally at the testosterone levels they were born with.
I mean, if you're born with a genetic advantage, you're born with a genetic advantage. It's just how it is. The same way if you're born 7 foot tall, you're going to be a better basketball player than somebody that's born 4 foot tall.
The line, and, you know, after a certain period of time of being on, it's just going to create more of a negative feedback loop. So I would definitely take a break before your pre-contest. And like you said, I'm glad you touched on blood work. That's something that not a lot of people get done. I have all my clients that are enhanced.
As we know, you know, a man can have a threefold difference naturally to another man.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. And there you go. What's the advantage there if somebody has a natural testosterone level at 36?
Yeah. And so the
kidney damage, and his kidneys will never be the same. He never felt any problems. He never felt any pain. He would have never known, other than the fact that he was getting a physical for a job. And they said, hey, something looks off here with your kidneys. Why don't you get this checked?
Anabolic steroids, or using anabolic steroids.
True.
So
true, but it's quantifying the impact. So you're saying that obviously a woman can be as high as 200, but you need to quantify how much
before sustenon was all he ever really did.
And that's what really gets to me. Like that bothers me hearing that, because you hear those kind of stories all the time, and people spend hundreds of dollars a month on food, yes, on supplements, on gear.
Shown to be 1 to 5% better, but we can't quantify how much better does your limb length make you at that event? How much better does your fiber type make you at that event? How much better does your hand size, all those other natural physiological variables? So
I want to continue being able to do it as long as I can. And the stuff that Alex is saying and the stuff that I'm saying, these are the things that we are doing in order to continue doing it. And not only that, hardcore isn't continuing to run drugs. You know, that's what I think some people think is.
Yeah. I think that's the strongest. That's the argument.
You know, the same way Andre the Giant was a freak of nature, you know, so he used his size to his advantage in what he did. Usain Bolt's got extremely long legs.
Best ones are getting blood work done.
Sure.
They're getting ART done. They're doing all these things we're talking about. It's just, it's not out in the forefront. Like, you don't see many pros posting up their blood work. And that's mainly because of the affiliations with their supplement companies. They can't say certain things.
You have genetics for growth. You have genetics for being able to stay lean.
Oh, yes.
You also have genetics in the sense of your mindset and your mental strength to perform in training hard enough to stimulate
the whole biological individuality of everyone, and at least how they, how differently everyone metabolizes drugs. We didn't get too in depth about it, but it's definitely something I want to talk with him a little bit more, because you look at it and, like you said, you have certain people that can turn
response to when people are put on the exact same resistance training program. And what they tried to work out was, well, what have these people got genetically that means they put on muscle very quickly and compared to the other people? And it seems to be, interestingly, it doesn't seem to be their natural.
The bikini girl who's taken 10 to 15 milligrams of it, and, you know, she just feels good.
Yeah, I remember the first time I used too much of him being pre-workout.
You never forget that day.
Yeah, no, never, because I'm squatting and I'm like, why do I feel so shitty? And
where proteins are actually made. So if that is what's required to make the protein, if you have more of them, once this chemical signal goes into the muscle that says make proteins, the chemical signal might be the same for everyone. But whoever has more ribosomes has literally got more factory workers.
And if I didn't read the label, I'll tell you 3 hours later if it had Yohimbine in it, because I can feel it.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
Oh, it's the worst. It's like the flu and everything else.
Yeah, it really is too, and especially
like- so that might allude to the whole why are some people so good when they just start lifting, you know, some people just pick up a weight and they just blow up in size. Yeah. And some guys don't. So
me and Scott have obviously seen people who can get the most gifted athlete.
I'm not really set on anything, meaning I love the company. I know the people and I love the people behind it.
Yeah.
They've got some great products and they've got some shitty products. I'll be the first one to say that. But I'll use their pre-workout Ion because it only has like 175 mgs of caffeine, and I don't.
Exactly. So you've got to have the marriage of both things.
And then you get those that don't particularly have the genetics, but have the mental fortitude to do anything and everything it takes to try and achieve their goal.
And they can make
Thanks. They have what the thing I like about them is their pre-workout is. It's a little bit on the milder side as far as that anxiety factor goes, but it definitely gives me what I need while I'm training. Another one though,
mental sperm. So basically the father's environment can alter the strength of the signals that his sperm presents when it comes to DNA expression.
I'll give you a good example there. So it's been shown that if you feed...
my workouts are usually at least 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm in the gym for a long amount of time. I've always... going back to my background, just real quick so everyone doesn't misconstrue things.
Yeah. Okay.
I grew up and I was always in...
was closed up. And then somehow that message got inherited into the that got put into the sperm, and that closed up area of DNA got inherited into the daughter, and then when the daughter was then exposed, it was then
that's kind of why my workouts are as long as they are. They usually won't go over, that's kind of the limit, but it'll depend on prep, off season, the day, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. Yeah, I'm about the same. You know,
they close.
No, basically.
Yes, and that is called epigenetic inheritance. So transgenerational epigenetic inheritance.
There is another thing that comes into this. Now, many people
have accessory work after that. So if you look at that amount of volume, it makes sense that you have a longer time period versus. Like you just said, if you just have a back day or whatever, then obviously time's all going to be relative.
Right,
you know?
Right. Huh, interesting. I could probably
keep... Is it possible then that exogenous testosterone injected whilst on cycle can trigger a different response in the production of sperm?
So that's the...
T-ball per day and was running... 40 milligrams of D-ball as well. So we got three orals going on here at once. I was also running 4 units of growth hormone and 25 milligrams of aromasin at every other day.
Well, that would have to be investigated because in theory, if there was above normal levels of androgen receptor binding happening, and as you say, still happening in the Sertoli cells, then it was all about, is that region of DNA when it gets packaged in?
When do you think he should get his blood levels checked to see where his estrogen is now?
So first of all, unless if you're 6 weeks out from a show, you don't need to be running three orals. That's going to do that. It's just, it's so
asking nicely. I don't know.
I don't know how you would, because obviously the university is going to be thinking about participant comfort and are they going to be felt awkward? Privacy issues. I mean, maybe you wouldn't.
You're not going to be able to work your way up to 75 mgs a day. I mean, right. That's ridiculous. You won't be able to control that estrogen. It's not going to be good for you. You're going to have joint issues with that high. I mean, it's not a good thing. So when to get blood levels checked, usually, you know,
That's off the question, yeah. But it would be pretty damn strong evidence. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that would be too difficult to do. But it would be, it might encourage an animal study, especially if you found in humans anyway, that there.
So at least the gyno stopped, but I'd probably stick to that 3 to 4 week range to actually get results back or go get blood work done, rather.
Yeah, I'd stick with you there. And he also adds, says last As for,
I can't help but think that also the type of testosterone that's producing that production is going to potentially have an impact on that sperm. So,
yeah,
you know, when a non-cycling, non-steroid user, you have follicle-stimulating hormone causing.
Be 3 days for about, you know, seven-ish shots. You want to have about 50 to 100 mgs of Clomid every day for, again, a good 3 weeks, and then you're definitely going to want to run an AI with that. I would, I'd always prefer Aromasin over Aromadex.
And also, you know, if any of the other drugs affect the binding there as well.
Yeah.
The thing is that what you'd have to do is collect the samples, see is the DNA packaged differently. So maybe
Arimidex. I feel like Arimidex is more likely to get in there and get things under control without having to be quite as precise.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. And the one thing, I'm not a fan of Letro at all. I mean, anything that's going to completely crush your estrogen.
The samples and then running it through the tests.
Anecdotally, I've seen evidence that would suggest that there is definitely some impact. But that's a long stretch from there to actually stating that it is actually really going on.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
But the issue goes away. Alex, I'm going to have to turn to you on this one because this is something I haven't heard before. Why does clenbuterol do this to him?
So BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia. So first of all,
just your lead that you buy some more mice.
Hey, Dave, I wanted to ask you a question. What are your thoughts? Now, let's just look at our sport in bodybuilding. I want to back up here.
The prostate gland is underneath your bladder, okay? When it gets bigger, it's actually going to block the flow of urine through your urethra. And if you don't get treatment for that, you can have things like bladder infections, UTIs, kidney problems. So Clem most definitely can cause issues with your prostate.
I don't see many female to males wanting to compete in the men's opens.
You know what's interesting? I'll show you some pictures. While we were talking about that, I actually did a search for male to female
hydrated, and that usually corrects the problem with the people that I've worked with. If it doesn't go away, obviously drop it completely, and you should be fine within a week or so. If it takes a few weeks for it to completely go away, then you must have had a pretty substantial.
Very often, I know it has happened on a few occasions, but generally, what we see in sport is male to female transition.
Yeah.
There was a recent case of the powerlifter that assigned him decided he wanted to be male to female and compete.
Your standpoint, I mean. Some people can lose hair on one compound and not another. Some people will get dry joints on one compound and not another. It really is just how you respond to it and your genetic predisposition for those. So I'd really look back in your family history.
We debated again later in the year at their national annual meeting. But at the moment, as it currently stands, they just don't allow it.
If there's enough numbers, if it becomes enough of a situation, then there's a possibility that there can be a
correlation between high estrogen affecting the prostate size.
So this one's a little bit interesting because if you are someone like we talked about, how people just go by research or they just go by anecdotal evidence, you have both sides.
Existed. Because then the whole hormone level thing starts to get a little bit muddier.
Yeah.
Because if you're talking assisted athletes, then a female to a large extent, bar certain structural issues from birth.
Out there, any of these physiology textbooks, that's kind of a big cause for prostate cancer is having excessively highly elevated levels of estrogen continuously. At the same time, though, like I've said, I've read just
human 720 Wilks. So she weighed in at 56 kilo body weight on the dot. She squatted 260 kilos with reps, raw with reps.
Wow.
Benched 132 and a half kilos, just raw.
You need to look at your genetics. You need to take a step back and look at why this is happening, what your estrogen levels are, because one person's high estrogen levels could be another person's low estrogen levels. So
sure.
That's kind of my opinion on it. How do you feel on this one?
Yeah, it's something that I'm not super familiar with.
Closest to that. So it's just like, wow.
That's over five times body weight. It's five times body weight.
Yeah, it's like 4.7 or something. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's up there, 4.7, 4.8. It's got to be up there.
I guess that I'm seeing that there's a possibility that this does happen, but they aren't prescribing medications to control estrogen to fix prostate problems yet.
And that makes complete sense, because from everything that I said and read, it's really inconclusive. And
because she weighed in at 123 pounds and she squatted 573 pounds. So there you go.
I've got a couple
in our physique enhancement community, where we're always getting new compounds. We're getting new things. People are trying new dosages, new everything. I would only think the prostate issues would arise. So that would tell me that people are going to start doing more and more homework, talking to more
that they were related to. I'd have to guess, man, that there's got to be some sort of assistance here. I mean, one of these guys in particular.
Well, there obviously is a gender reassignment assistance at least, but the point is, could a female?
Not at all, man. You're my guest. I'm happy to have you. You do what you want to do here. This is and that's. I'm sure that the listening audience is happy to hear from you too. They don't want to just hear me talk every week. You know, they want to get some other opinions. So
well, you got a pretty good radio voice though, so I'd love to hear it all.
Their testosterone is always within that human normal male range, but you're right. They are allowed those in that instances. They're going to if they are a woman becoming a man.
Horrible, but it was a bang to the season. Like, to actually start it off, that was crazy.
Yeah. You guys doing anything for Halloween?
Oh, my God. I forgot today was Halloween. No. man, that's a shame, because I can remember in high school.
29 and more.
Yeah.
Which is in range, but that's not a true reflection of what a normal male hormone pattern would be. And it wouldn't have the natural ebb and flow that a normal male hormone pattern would have. You wouldn't get that 3 p.m. drop-off.
Yeah.
It has been like that Google had like a Halloween image on their page today, you know?
You know what I was seeing, actually? And I don't know if you've been seeing this, but all day, actually all week, I've been seeing girls on Facebook and Instagram crushing pumpkins between their legs.
This image in particular. But what I'm seeing is I've seen pictures here of what appears to be women that are not wearing tops, but they have worn, and that's not what I'm showing right now, but they were wearing like tape over their nipples, but they looked like guys.
Yeah. Can't go back in time. Well, at least not yet. I think they're making a time machine. maybe I'll go back in time.
If they come out with that, I'm sure that we could all probably use that. Listen, I got
own. I could see down the road. I mean, at this present time, there might not be enough people to say have an entire powerlifting meet with just transgender female to males. But who knows? Maybe down the road, that'll be a division of its own.
But I mean, at the moment, I think there is an LGBT,
you know, help answer this stuff. But, you know, it'll be a little bit more interactive once we get a forum put together, I think. So that'll be, you know, to everybody's benefit.
Yeah. Do you have work? Is it a WordPress?
I don't deal with any of the technical stuff for this.
July 2019, all gender inclusive competition for lifters of any ability, Blackpool Sixth Form College.
No kidding.
There you go.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, and they're having some workshops in London and in Blackpool as well in 2000.
Right. Yeah, if somebody wants to get in something, they can. But I just want a good site that, you know, isn't going to be filled with spam every day. That people can go to and ask their questions, and you know, get a little bit more interaction going than just the anonymous question box.
I mean, obviously, with transgender sexual reassignment, especially male to female, you do have that issue of the doses are correct, the correct doses, and I can't see an organization like that having a financial prowess to be able to monitor these athletes.
I got to get back over there and check it out and see how things are going. How is the company going with it?
As far as the clients and the private VIP threads,
yeah,
it's fairly, you know, it's decent.
Nice. Reassignment dosages, if not both.
Dave, you got anything else that you'd like to ask Alex while we got him on the line here?
No, I think we've covered the main things, and I'm conscious of time as well.
Well, we appreciate that.
EFT. But yeah, it's supposed to EFT on the site payment, and then so everybody got in for free this month.
Oh wow. Oh man. Well, hopefully you'll get it sorted.
Or you can email me akt19@brighton.ac.uk. I'd greatly appreciate your help in trying to recruit people. I think this is a very unique project. This, for the first time, is going to monitor guys in the long in the short term and long term as they cycle off steroids.
It's almost done. I don't even know anything about that stuff. So you're speaking a foreign language to me right now.
Well, I'm speaking a foreign language to a foreign language, basically, because yeah. I don't.
Since then, you have been steroid free, or you're on genuine medically prescribed TRT, then do get in touch. As long as you are male, age 20 to 35, and not using any medications that could affect your blood to clot.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like your research could do a lot. I mean, of course, like
is good. Probably 10 a.m. his time. 11. I gotta ask him.
Let's do it sometime, man. That would be awesome. We couldn't quite call it a reunion, but I will fill in for that third position. It'll be a reunion of you guys.
Cycle the guys are running. We'll be able to see how much muscle does someone lose when they're on the steroid cycle like that. Yeah. So if someone's running, you know, half a gram of gear and they then go off for 20 weeks, how much does their muscle mass go down? Like, we're going to be able to see that.
And he's never cycled before. So he's studying training and macronutrient manipulation in grad school. I'm not planning to compete, but I need to look the part if I'm going to succeed as a trainer.
So I've had, you know, working with various people that have used anabolics, so much of the outcome post cycle has to do with what they're doing with post cycle therapy, getting their testosterone back online, their nutrition, how they.
I read that it's best to stay on until you look like what you want to look like before coming off. So he's talking about just probably blasting crews. Okay. He says, I plan on
be very controlled.
Yeah.
But we're not going to be able to control their training apart from just interviewing them and basically monitoring when they come here. It's exactly, well, what's your training be like? How many days a week? What's your resistance training program like? What are your numbers like up to this point now?
Okay.
And then when
CG, Nolvadex, and Clomid, and Aromacin all together, and then blast for 16 weeks with more gear, Test Deca and T-Ball. I think he's getting a little ahead of himself, man. He's never
still at a certain level to be able to maintain what they did have.
Yeah, that makes total sense then. And it also, I think, goes to the point you've made earlier that the more people that you can get involved in this, the larger the cross section you'll be able to get to draw from.
I have a lot of muscle.
Yeah, he's 23. And, 23? Yeah, he says it doesn't say how long he's been training for, but dude, for all we know, he hasn't eaten a bodybuilding lifestyle diet, you know, for long. For all we know, he just started doing this in the last.
And then we've got some guys that are running, you know, half a gram of gear. So it's going to be interesting to see do which one decreases muscle mass the most or which one doesn't. And then we might also see, in terms of androgen receptor binding, are there differences?
No, it's been good. We're just trying to get organized the last couple of days. No, yeah, we don't go on a lot of trips, so this is like a real trip. You know, trying to get, you know, make sure he's got everything and reading the fucking United.
By this, some of the guys that are on the Anavar-only cycles, 20 weeks later, their muscle molecularly looks exactly like someone who's never used steroids before, and the receptor binding is dissipated because of the sort of lower affinity so much that there's not that big of a difference. Whereas the guys that were running, you're sort of more.
So they're like wild dogs down there. Running out. Have you been there before?
No.
Oh.
I wanted to like a nice resort that's family orientated.
There still will be cocks running all over. Just telling you ahead of time, I'm serious. And when you see them.
Next week, Dave, I have a whole new list of British slang that somebody sent me. We've been analyzing British slang and comparing it to U.S. slang. So we're going to have to get back to that one next week, though.
Okay. No problem.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
No, so we're going on a cockless vacation. And we got an offshore trip booked, like private charter. And scuba diving. No nice. Group shit. Just us, you know. No gig.
Voices Radio Network.